Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dibb. This is Crosstalk Cross Talk, Presbyterian Congregation, Mount Zion, the 12th hour, in the Elgin, Texas. Today is March the 24th, 2024, or the Vidar 2028. We will start our first service today with a song that we're going to. Our subject is the woman riding on the beast, heads and waters, taken from Volume 2 of the Shepherd's Rod, page 121, by the V.T. Harder. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. Revelation 17:1. For the angel that was talking to John is one of the seven which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues. See Revelation 15:7, 16:1. It will be noticed that he had the vial of the plague ready, but it had not been poured out at the time he said unto John, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. By the information given, it is certain that the event predicted by the symbol, the woman sitting on the beast, is shortly before the plagues are poured out and in the time when the woman is to be judged. Who is the woman riding on the beast? So I left subtitle. For the reason John was shown the vision is made clear by the whore, by the words of the angel, Come up hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon the many waters. For the angel's interpretation of the waters is given in Revelation 17:15. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, for the woman sitting on them denotes that the inhabitants waters has fallen into her trap of the deception sitting on them. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication, Revelation 17:4. For the woman is a symbol of a counterfeit religious system. From her cup, she hands out false doctrine. Being golden, it has an appearance of the splendor inviting her costly garments of loud colors and precious ornaments vividly portrays the magnificence of this most vile woman and her kingly pomp and vain glory. By the power of her attraction so irresistible for the human eye, she has conquered men of the strongest intellect, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Millions with a strong mental faculty, men who appear as giants among the inhabitants of the earth, have fallen helpless victims in her trap. the kings of the earth are guilty of the spiritual adultery with their women, and drunk with the false doctrine, thereby becoming entangled in her seductive snares. Any so-called Christian organization handed out false doctrine under or with an appearance of a virtue evidently is governed by the power of the woman, for the origin of all such pernicious teaching can be traced back into the golden cup, said the angel, the seven heads of the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. It has been previously explained that the heads are symbols of the so-called Christian denomination, and as she sits on them all, it denotes a union of churches under or with the one head, with the woman. For the biblical number 7 apprehends all such organizations. If all the churches at this present time were led by the Holy Spirit, there would be no confusion among the so-called Christian sects, as it would be impossible for all to be right while no two believe alike. It is warrantable to say that those who are drinking a wine from the cup of her fornication are not a few, for inspiration says, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication, Revelation 17:2, last part. Note that the woman sits on the water, also on the heads, and on the beast, see Revelation 17:1-9. And it would be impossible for one person to sit on all three objects at one time, for the prophetic symbol reveal a spiritual fraud in the three different appears. Thus John declares, I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, not upon the waters, nor upon the heads, before he saw her. For the angel said, the woman sitteth upon the many waters, for it was the angel also. He added that the seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. See Revelation 17:1-9. Thus John saw her last exploit only sit upon the beast. Consequently, the symbol sitting on the waters is the first act according unto the vision. Therefore, her first achievement is sitting on the waters must have been in the past, from the time that the prophetic symbol is revealed. Hence, the sitting on the heads becomes the second accomplishment, and the sitting on the beast is the last, at which time she is judged. As the Protestant churches are represented by the heads, she could not have sat on them before the Reformation, for they were not as yet in existence. As the heads upon which the woman sits are unharmed, it is evident that the prophetic symbol is to meet its fulfillment sometime after the deadly wound of the leopard like this of the Revelation 13:3 is here for the symbol sitting on the base or on the head denotes children of the churches, for she sits on them. Therefore, when the Catholicism, Protestantism, and spiritualism clash each other's hand by the medium of a league, then it could be said that the woman sitteth on the head, for the symbol of the woman sitting on the beast will meet its fulfillment when that religious federation shall make an alliance with the powers of the world. Such an act would give the woman full control of the entire beast, horns, and head, the world. At that time, the following scripture will meet its perfect fulfillment, and he causes all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in the right hand or in their forehead, and that no man might bow himself save he that had the mark or the name of the beast. Revelation 13, 16, 17. Thus the symbol of the woman sitting on the waters represents the period before the Reformation. This was true during the period of the papal supremacy, for at that time the papacy ruled the woman, world, peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and towns. Thus the woman sat on the waters during the 1260 prophetic years of the Daniel 7:25, but she is yet to sit on the heads and on the beast, as she sat on the nondescript beast instead of on the waters. It would have been wrongly symbolized for the woman by the tool of the Catholicism did not reign over all the world, the beast, but over many peoples and multitudes and nations and towns. Many waters, therefore, the symbol sitting upon the scarlet colored beast denotes an international religio political system. How long has a woman been in the existence? Is our next subtitle. How long has a woman been in the existence? Is our next subtitle. We're on page 123. For this question may be answered by the following scriptures. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Yahshua. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Revelation 17:6. For this surely could be said of the woman church, for she persecuted the Christians and martyred them. Therefore she is drunk with their blood. True, the Roman church has had unlawful connection with the woman, was and is drunk with the wine of her fornication. For the woman did not originate with the Roman church, but rather she produced that church. Therefore we must trace her existence beyond the beginning of the papacy. Revelation 18:24 throws light upon the subject, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. For the holy word of Yahweh declares that the woman is guilty of the blood of the martyrs in all ages. Therefore the woman is drunk with the blood of the Abel, and thus the blood of all the martyrs is found in her, proving that Cain was her first client by the presenting of a counterfeit sacrifice, false doctrine, and by slaying his brother. There are many so-called Christians who, like Cain, say, it makes no difference. One thing is as good as another, but Yahweh sets no substitute and no man's religion. That which the human wisdom has devised is the man's righteousness, and not the righteousness of the Yahshua. Therefore, it is an abomination in Yahweh's sight, the human fiber of the obedience to divine requirement being weakened and the sinful inclination strengthened from generation to generation. The nature of the man cannot be better at this present time than when the disciples asked Yahshua, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard the saying?" So-called Christians, like the Pharisees, become offended when told of their error and rebuked for their sin. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted there. Let them alone, for they be the blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Matthew 15:12-14. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and the abominations of the earth. Revelation 17:5. For the woman riding on the beast is the mother. The seven heads on the beast are the symbols of her daughter, harlot. Catholicism is her first daughter in this symbol, and as harlots, Protestantism sprang from Catholicism, then apostate Protestantism, and the multiplicity of the sects are her daughters also. Or it may be said, the woman is the mother of Catholicism, and Catholicism is the mother of Protestantism. There's a revelation, revelator. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored a beast full of the names of blasphemy, Revelation 17:3. Thus the number of the hair and full of the name includes all the offshoots from the Protestantism and Catholicism. Had there been no mention made of being full of the names more than seven, and scarlet, which denotes that Yahweh's people have been called out of it, therefore scarlet skimmed under curse, ready to perish, the biblical number seven heads would have included those who are carrying Yahweh's message, as in the period of the leopard light, a beast of Revelation 13:1. And at the time his deadly wound was healed. Therefore, it would have made no allowance for the church which keeps the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. And thus it would have contradicted the following scripture, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, choice, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Israel, the truth, 144,000, which keep the commandments of the Yahweh and have the testimony of Yahshua, Revelation 12:17. For Yahweh has never had more than one movement in the existence at a time. And it could not be otherwise now, for Yahshua cannot be divided. See 1 Corinthians 1:13. Yahweh's church has well marked in every generation by the obedience to the present truth. For the fact itself proves the claim true, as there is only one church in the period of the beast which has the spirit of the prophecy and all of the commandments as written by the finger of the Yahweh, said the Yahshua. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:19. It is this divine principle that shall divide the world into two classes, the commandments of the Yahweh and the traditions of men. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Matthew 25:32-33. The exceeding great horn of Daniel 8:9. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had the two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up left. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according unto his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came unto the ram that had the two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran under him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with terror against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of the heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, and toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. Daniel 8:3-9. For the angel giving the interpretation unto Daniel says, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of the Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, the four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of the fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Daniel 8:20-23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, the four Grecian divisions, a king of the fierce countenance shall stand up. For this scripture is applicable unto the Roman monarchy. For this king must stand at the end of the reign of the kings of Grecia. The Ptolemy was the last of the four Grecian divisions to fall under the ascendancy of Rome, with the defeat of the Antony and the death of Cleopatra about 27 B.C., the noted dynasty of the Ptolemy came to its end, and Egypt became a province of the Roman state. He was to stand up when the transgressors are come to the full. For the Grecians have never been anything but transgressors. Therefore, the reference can be applied only to the Jewish nation, at which time the once favored people of the Yahweh would have exceeded any previous record of both moral and spiritual corruption. For the Jewish nation reached that condition at the time of the ascendancy of Rome and the first advent of the Yahshua. Therefore, this king of the fierce countenance is the Roman monarchy after the transgressors, the Jews, had come to their full. Rome's power, not her own. Understanding dark sentences is our next subtitle. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of the princes, that be Yahshua, the son of Yahweh, but he shall be broken without hand. Daniel 8:24-25. He shall understand dark sentences, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. His prosperity is accomplished by the peace. Then, if by peace, the scripture can have no reference to the ambitious conquest of this territory, for his power was for to be directed against the holy people, the apostolics. He shall also stand against the prince of the princes, and that shall assure him. In order that a human being may understand dark sentences, he must use his supernatural power, and that power cannot be his own, or the question arises as to where he was to obtain his mighty power. If his attack is to be against Yahshua and his people, he will not be hard to recognize the kind of power that he would use. However, John gives us the source of this mysterious strength. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of the 12 stars. And she being with child, great travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in the heaven, And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the 3rd part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was called up unto Yahweh and unto his throne. Revelation 12, 1 to 5. For the woman is a symbol of the Yahweh's church. The crown of the 12 stars is her authority or government. The 12 apostles and the child is the Yahshua. In the 9th verse, we are told that the dragon is the devil and Satan. It was with the figure of the Herod that the dragon stood before the woman, ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Yahweh appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring the word, for the Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Matthew 2:13. Therefore, the power that Rome used in her cruelty against the holy people and the prince of the princes was the old dragon power, and thereby the Roman emperors understand dark sentences through which he, the devil, was determined to destroy Yahshua and his followers. Follow the chart on page 128. For the horn reveals that which the beast fails to do. That's the next subtitle. As the Medo-Persia and Grecia are each represented by the 2 symbols, Medo-Persia, first by the ram, and second by the bear. Okay, so the ram was first, representing the bear, I mean the Persia, and the bear represents the Media, and second by the bear, and Grecia, first by the goat, and second by the four-headed leopard beast. So Rome was represented first by the exceeding great horn on the goat, and second by the nondescript beast. The first stage of the fourth beast represents imperial Rome, but the second stage, after his 3 horns had been plucked, describes papal Rome. See pages 56 and 9. For the beast representing imperial Rome does not give much information regarding the Roman form of government, but that which is not revealed by the beast is made known by the goat's great horn. Therefore, we must consider the great horn's power and conduct. Cast down to the host and the stars. This is our next subtitle. Says Daniel, therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and forth came up 4 notable ones toward the 4 winds of the heaven, and it waxed great, even unto the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Daniel 8:8-10. For the host of heaven cannot refer to the Jewish nation at that time, for the Jews had killed the prophets and had rejected every message Yahweh has sent by his humble servant until there was no remedy. Thus, they have been withheld a prophet since the thus they had been without a prophet since the time of the Malachite. Had they obeyed Yahweh's voice and through his messengers, he would not have let them fall under the Roman yoke. For the Romans reason, as most Christians do at the present time, they took the position that they were wise and well-favored of Yahweh, even though they had rejected every ray of the light, completely despised the entreaties and mercies of the Yahweh. Although misconception of the Yahweh's treason, prejudice against light upon the word of Yahweh, robbed them of wisdom and knowledge of the Most High until they were finally led into the terrible sin and condemnation when they rejected the message warned to them by the apostles with the power of the Holy Spirit. They sinned against the Holy Spirit and thereby closed the only channel through which the Yahweh could communicate with them. Therefore, the Jews, with such condemnation, could not be termed. Let's read that again. Therefore, the Jews, under or with such condemnation, could not be termed the host of heaven, and much less stars. He magnified himself even to the prince of the host, Daniel 8:11. For the prince is Yahshua, and the host are the Christians. This is the only proper application that can be made of the expression. The stars are none other than the apostles, as they were symbolized by the woman's crown of Revelation 12:1. Therefore, the stars that were cast down referred to the apostles, and the host to the Christians, which is the laity. That's very nice to after the crucifixion of the Yahshua, when Rome, together with the Jews, persecuted and martyred, cast to the ground, yes, he magnified himself even unto the prince of the host, that is, the Roman power, magnified itself against the Yahshua, prince of the Christians, that's the laity, for the daily and the sanctuary cast down is our next subtitle, and by him the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the place of the sanctuary is cast down, and a host is given him against the daily sacrifice by the reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth of the daily sacrifice to the ground, and it practiced and prospered, and the 8:11 and 12. For the spirit of prophecy commenting on the text says, then I saw in relation unto the daily that was taken out of the way and cast to the ground by the man of sin, Daniel 8:12, that the word sacrifice was supplied by man's wisdom and does not belong to the text. Well, if they're referring to the word sacrifice, meaning to continue sacrificing animals, I say yes, it should be taken out of the way. It does not belong to the text. Early, God is going to set it forth. This then too, we must disregard the word sacrifice, but hold to the deity. Although the word sacrifice is italicized, meaning that it was a supplied word, because it would be used to refer to the animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, and that had been already done away with to the New Testament. But hold to the deity. Although the word sacrifice is italicized, showing that it was supplied, a vision was given regarding the text, making it evident that a vital truth is involved in the words deity and sanctuary. Whatever the deity may be, it was taken away by the great horn. Now I'm going to look up this deity in the Old Testament under the law of Moses, and I'm going to quote you those scriptures in the Old Testament. They're in Exodus and other places about what the deity was back then. It was practiced twice a day, 7 days a week. And that was at the 2 o'clock hour in the morning, the third hour of the morning, and the ninth hour of the afternoon. It was called the sacred hour. That's when Yahshua in heaven chose to meet with his people here on earth at those appointed times. And Daniel 11:31 references made to the name incident. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily, and they shall face the abomination that makes it different. Well, the daily and the sanctuary goes together. And you got those two words mentioned there. Well, the verse that's quoted makes clear that the idea of both the daily and the sanctuary must be part of Yahweh's truth. This thought cannot be misconstrued without doing injury to the scripture. Notice the language used. And they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength and shall take away the daily. Take away the practice of the sanctuary system, what it's talking about. You take away the daily, you don't have no sanctuary service. The only time you have a sanctuary service in operation is when you have the daily then participated on at the third hour of the day and the ninth hour of the afternoon. If you don't have those parts of the services, you close the door to the sanctuary. You don't need it either. After polluting the sanctuary and taking away the daily dinner service, they shall face the abomination that maketh desolate. Well, the Catholic Church placed the Pope there in the sanctuary as the high priest. That is to say, the sanctuary and the deity were replaced by the abomination. The abomination must be some pagan religious institution, and that's the Catholic Church. That's that institution. And that pagan doctrine, abomination, was to make desolate, that is to say, it laid waste the sanctuary. Take away the deity, the sanctuary is of no service to anything. And the truth, as it is expressed in Daniel 8:13, trodden underfoot, and it casts down the truth of the true operation of the sanctuary to the ground, and it is practiced and prospered by the 8:12. For the Yahshua, speaking of the same instance, says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken by Daniel, the prophet stands And the Holy Ghost, he's going to read it, let him understand. Matthew 24:15. For Yahshua calls the deity and the sanctuary Holy Ghost. No pagan sanctuary would Yahshua call Holy Ghost. Neither can it be polluted, for it has always been unclean. No pagan deity can be holy, therefore the deity and the sanctuary must hold truth vital for the Christian church, and the prophet declared that it was to be trodden underfoot. The word sacrifice in relation to the deity was shown to be supplied by man's reason, as previously stated. It was also pointed out that the word deity is corrupt, therefore it cannot be supplemented by another word, it must remain as it is. Well, how come B.D. Hawes didn't let it remain as it is? B.D. Hawes changed the meaning of it. Not right there. If there's ever one statement that sunk his ship, it's that one right there. As a Daniel, careful, as he was carefully watching the scene and the vision, he said, then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the transgression of the desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Daniel 8:13-14. For the prophetic period of the 2,300 days, years, a well-known Bible truth is first taught by William Miller prior to 1844. Therefore, we shall not give its explanation here. It is sufficient to say that the long prophetic period ended in 1844. For the question was asked by one saint, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily and the sanctuary and the host? Then it is answered by another saint, under 2,300 days, and it is only necessary to ascertain what the two vital truths were taught, were brought to the light. Let's read that again. For it is only necessary for the ascertaining what the two vital truths that were brought to the light in 1844, and we shall have the truth of what is meant by the deity and the sanctuary, for they are self-explanatory in both word and time, the Sabbath and the sanctuary truth, as they were jointly taught in 1844 A.D. Now, I'm not going to go on into what Richard Hollis said about this. I read before to you. He said the Sabbath is actually the daily. He tried to use every kind of thing in the world to prove it. He didn't use the law of Moses. So therefore, there's no validity to what Richard Hollis tried to explain about the Sabbath doctrine and the daily. So I'm going to forego that this time. I'm not even going to bother you to hear all of that stuff. Okay? So we'll skip on down. It says, I beheld till the thrones were set up and placed around, and the Ancient of the Days did sit, his garment was white as the snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as the burning fire. A fire stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. Daniel 7, 9, and 10. At the fulfillment of this prophecy, the first angel's message was proclaimed, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of the heavens, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and unto every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Yahweh and give glory unto him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Revelation 14, 6 and 7. For this is another well-known Bible truth. Read the Great Controversy, pages 352 to 356. For the sanctuary and the Sabbath too were restored to their proper place in 1844. But the question as to the time when these two holy doctrines were cast to the ground or trodden underfoot remains to be answered. For the angel speaking to Daniel relative to the time said, and from the time that the daily shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate shut up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Daniel 12:11-12. It will be noticed that there is no blessing pronounced at the termination of the 1290 prophetic days or years, but there is a special blessing promised unto those who wait for the 1335 days or years are fulfilled. Therefore, at the end of the 1335 years, the daily was to be restored, and the blessing is unto those who shall live from that time on. But the daily wasn't restored in 1844. Or beat the hell called the Sabbath the daily, so it's just quite restored in 1844. The daily, but when you say the Sabbath is the daily, then you have to say the daily was restored. But the record shows that Roller Johnson, with the third feeding pastor in 1970, restored the daily by the creation calendar. And he restored it accurately. So, how many years is that between 1844 and 1970? 126 years. Okay. So, and the blessing is to those who shall live from that time on if they understand and receive its truth. To ascertain the prophetic time on the seventh day Sabbath and the true sanctuary were trodden underfoot, and Sunday observance of the pagan priesthood set up in their stead, it would be necessary to subtract the 1335 years from 1844, which would point back to 508 A.D., dealing with the Hebrew calendar, and that year, the daily, and the sanctuary truth were cast to the ground. Well, the seventh day Sabbath is part of the sanctuary truth, because the daily is the appointed time that you perform your vows twice a day in the sanctuary. So it says, and the abomination sun is set up. In order to understand the truth of the prevalent none of your days, at this vigil to 508 AD, which points forward to 1798 AD, at which time the 1260 prophetic days of Daniel 7:25 terminated with the imprisonment of the Pope by the ship. Thus the prophetic treading of the host ended in 1798, but the sanctuary and the daily truth were not restored and placed in the church until after the fulfillment of the 1335 days of the years in 1844. This unquestionable evidence proved that the movement that arose in 1844 at the 9th Parabolic Hour, Matthew 20, verse 5, with Ellen G. White, head of the Adventist Church, as its leader, is Yahweh's true church and divinely predicted. This it clears up the widespread confusion in Christendom as to which denomination has the truth for the present time. It also reads out all the rest as false, for it is the only movement that has the truth of the censure, as the truth of the two inseparable doctrines were thrown down in 508 AD, a preliminary to the setting up of the papacy. Just so the imprisonment of the Pope in 1798 was preparatory to the restoration of the jointly taught Bible truth, the Sabbath, and the sanctuary. The accountability that rests on the papacy is not the observance of the day, but rather the desire to change the law of Yahweh, as shown in Daniel 7:25. Time to change times and law. The papacy thought to erase the seventh day Sabbath from the eternal law and to inscribe the first day of the week in its place. This brings in our 50th hour contact at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. And to hear this, and more, we're going to close now with a song.